Welcome back to the Autism Everyday Podcast. We are your hosts, Swati
and Geeta. Welcome back.
So this is our third episode
Third, yes.
after the release of the book, A World of Difference. And we are so overwhelmed and so super grateful for the response from everyone in the community. It means so much to us that what we have to say is reaching people and helping families change the way they interact and the way they deal with their children on the spectrum.
That's true. So, yeah, it's been a dream come true, something we wanted to do for the longest time. And finally, we actually got around to doing it.
And you're holding a copy as we speak.
Yes.
It just doesn't get better than this.
Yes. So, one of the things we would like to kind of, you know, one of the things that strikes me is in chapter one, where we've spoken about understanding the spectrum disorder.
Yeah.
Right? What really is, what is autism spectrum disorder? Like, this is a question that so many times parents who come to us ask us, because this is the first time they are actually hearing the word autism when their child gets a diagnosis.
That's right.
Right? Most people haven't even heard it.
That's right.
Right? So, what is autism spectrum disorder?
So, there is a definition if you look into our book. We've quoted Autism Speaks. Autism spectrum disorder is a neurodevelopmental condition that refers to a broad range of conditions characterized by challenges or deficits with social skills, repetitive behaviors, speech, and nonverbal communication. It's a very
textbook.
I was going for like technical definition, but yes, it is a textbook definition, and it's very relevant.
Yes.
But I think what we have to throw a little bit of light on is the fact that ASD manifests in early childhood. As young as about 11 months to 12 months, you will start seeing the first signs if you haven't already.
Yeah. And it's a spectrum disorder.
Absolutely.
Right? Which means that no two children who have a diagnosis of autism are exactly alike. Right?
There is a line in our book where we say they can be extremely intelligent, very well articulated, or they can be nonverbal, or they can be partly verbal individuals with varying degrees of strengths and varying degrees of difficulties in the domains of cognition, behavior, language, and social skills.
That's true. There's such a wide range of children that we see, right? And so often we wonder, you know, child who has so much of language, why does he have a diagnosis of autism, right?
Absolutely. It's like there are well-known real-life personalities like Dr. Temple Grandin and Santoshi. I can't pronounce his name, but he's the founder of Pokemon. They all hold a diagnosis of autism. And then there are no other than that, there's Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory. I mean, that is the most classic representation of somebody with high-functioning autism.
Yeah,
but there's just so much difference within the spectrum itself.
Yeah. And now that everything is just under one umbrella, there are no different diagnoses like PDD, NOS, or Asperger's. It kind of puts a wide range of individuals under the same diagnostic umbrella. Often leading to parents wondering, how does this child also have a diagnosis of autism?
Exactly. I think that is. You know, something we deal with very often in our clinical practice, where sometimes a mom will come up to us or a dad will come up to us and say, but are you sure? Like, are you absolutely sure my child is on the spectrum? Because he can do this and he can do that. And not to compare, but, you know, the other kids here can't do that. Or some other times we have families coming in and saying, really? Like, why is that child in your school? Why is that child at your center?
Yeah.
Can he not go to mainstream school?
Isn't he kind of rotting away there?
Exactly.
Is
the look they have on their face anyway.
So some of the early observations that, you know, parents who come in with a concern talk about is, of course, the toddler does not turn to look when called. On the other hand, the toddler comes running when he hears his favorite jingle on TV, and usually it's an advertisement or the theme song of, you know, a serial or one of those programs, right? May not speak or ask for what he wants.
Or he might ask for it very indirectly. Like he might, you know, sort of talk about everything around that, you know, and not just say, hey, can I have that?
Yeah, it's like saying, ooh, the food looks yummy.
Or let's go that way, yes. You know, as opposed to saying, open the door.
Yeah.
If he wants to go, you know, past the door.
And yeah, many times a child who the parent says is not speaking at all may utter random words while he or she is playing.
But that's true.
Never in a situation where he's having a conversation with the parent or approaching the parent. And when you say something, then the child just goes mute.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that is one of the reasons why a comment that we often hear from a parent is that my child is just being stubborn.
Yeah, we hear that a lot.
Right? Because they notice that he's able to initiate some form of communication, even if it's not vocal, some form of communication when he wants something or when he's interested in something or when he really wants something, he does it. Right? No matter where the parent has hidden the item. But when the parent asks him to do something, then the toddler usually just runs away or in their perception pretends not to understand, leading them to believe that the child is either being stubborn or it's just wanton misbehavior. And true, from the parent's perspective, if the child can learn so many things, then what's preventing him from learning what I'm teaching him to learn, right? Isn't that true?
Very, very.
Yeah. So, some more parent observations that we see.
That their toddler watches or listens to certain songs or rhymes, and he might listen to certain sections of the song or rhyme over and over again.
Oh, yes. We had this child, I'm talking 15, 16 years back, who loved the Yes Minister intro music.
Right, yeah.
And he would, I think it was the time we had DVDs.
Uh-huh.
So he would put that on and it would be a tiny, probably 10-second segment of the introduction music. And that would play and he would immediately go back, play that again. I mean, it used to ring in my head for the longest time, actually.
I can imagine, yeah.
Right? And you know, one of the things that also comes to mind is that many times when the family does receive a diagnosis of autism, and I think this is something that when we were talking to one of the parents of an older child, if you remember on one of her earlier podcasts, she mentioned that fortunately for her, the pediatrician did not discourage her when she said, do you think something is not quite all right with my child? Because oftentimes, and like she put it, had the doctor said, yeah, you're just being imaginative, then, you know, she would have gone home happy and said, of course my child is all right. My doctor said he's all right and all I need to do is wait a little longer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and I think that is something, because many times you see parents come in for a diagnosis and kind of back away after that.
I think we've seen that a lot. Like I distinctly recall like moms coming in saying, you know, I suspect something's not quite right. I'd really like you to take a look at my child. And then when we actually run an assessment and tell them, okay, you know what, hey, your child's on the spectrum and, you know, let's start working with him or he would benefit from early intervention, they back away. Yeah. It's almost like they don't want to know.
They don't want to know, right? It's like, I don't want to...
Or I don't want my fears to be sort of confirmed.
To be confirmed. So oftentimes even hesitating to use the
A word.
A word. Right? Because if it comes out of your mouth, then it's like you're admitting to it or you're accepting it. And the parent is probably at a stage where you're still not ready for it. Yeah. And understandably so, because it's not easy.
But here's the thing. The sooner we accept the diagnosis, the sooner you as a parent say, okay, hey, my child has autism, the sooner you can help them.
Yeah.
The sooner they get early intervention, the sooner you can involve your family in the process and really, really make a difference to your child's developmental trajectory.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I guess, you know, the reason they hesitate is it would result in a journey into the unknown, really. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
So much that, because here is a child and you had a set of expectations, and you, at 3 he would do this, at 5 he would do this, and so on and so forth, all the way till he probably went into college and moved out into life. But when this diagnosis gets in the way, then it's going to change so many things. And sometimes it takes a while for the parents to really get ready for it, to get ready to hear the A word.
So you know, while reading this book and listening to our podcast, let's change that to autism and not the A word.
Yeah.
And with that, we encourage all of you to get your hands on a copy of the book, read it, and DM us. Let us know what you think of the book. We're always here for all things autism related.
Yeah. Do take a look at the book. It is going to demystify a lot of things, really. And you know, once you understand what the A word, sorry, what autism is, then believe me, that's half the battle won.
Agreed. Right? Yes.
So thank you for tuning in. Stay safe.
See you next time.